1370 presents The Wellness Connection with certified clinical nutritionist Radia Gleese and certified traditional naturopath Peter McCarthy. Brought to you by Martin's Compounding and Wellness Centers with three convenient Austin area locations. If you're tired of searching endlessly for health information that's trustworthy or accurate, The Wellness Connection has the answers you need. Now, here are Radia and Peter.
Hello, everyone, and good Sunday morning to you. Welcome to the Wellness Connection, brought to you by Martin's Compounding and Wellness Centers, with three Austin-area locations at Lamar Plaza Drugstore, Dripping Springs Pharmacy, and Lake Hills Pharmacy. And we're delighted to tell you that we'll be with you for another season, so keep tuning in for the most trustworthy health information on radio. I'm your co-host, Radia Gleese.
And I'm your co-host, Peter McCarthy. Good morning. Our featured guest will be talking to us this morning about the national energy crisis, and I don't mean oil or gas. Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, MD, is an internationally recognized expert on chronic fatigue syndrome, and he'll be talking with us about what it is and what we can do about it. And our Health Freedom Interview guest will be attorney Judith McGeary, executive director of the Farm and Ranch Freedom Alliance, or FARFA, who will be discussing food safety and what the new FDA regulations mean to all of us. And Radia, the lead news story is something our featured guest will have a lot more to say about, won't he?
Well, I expect he will, Peter. Researchers from the Stanford University School of Medicine conducted an imaging study and discovered prominent difference between the brain of patients that suffer from chronic fatigue syndrome and those of healthy individuals. The flaws in the brain found in the study may help in the resolving of uncertainty, according to Michael Zenham, MD and PhD. He's the assistant professor of radiology and lead author of the paper. Zenham said, quote, "Using a trio of sophisticated imaging methodologies, we found that CFS, chronic fatigue syndrome patients' brains diverge from those of healthy subjects in at least three distinct ways," unquote. Between 1 million and 4 million people are affected by CFS in the United States, and with many millions more worldwide. The results of the study could possibly lead to more conclusive diagnosis of the condition and may also direct scientists to a principal mechanism in the disease process.
Well, you know, this should be really good news for people who suffer from chronic fatigue. For such a long time, they've been told it's all in your head. Well, now they've got definitive information that says it's all in your head.
That's right. And hopefully Dr. Teitelbaum will be able to help us out with that subject, because he's an expert on it. And Peter, your story has some mixed news about the value of chocolate in combating cognitive decline, doesn't it?
Well, it sure does, Radia. Research from Columbia University, published in Nature Neuroscience, has highlighted the link between flavanols from cocoa and age-related cognitive decline. The participants in the Columbia University trial in question were given one of the two specially prepared cocoa drinks, one with 900 milligrams of flavanols and one with just 10 milligrams. The potential benefits of flavanols showed far more in the group that was given the more potent drink. Now, before everyone rushes out and buys a case of chocolate bars, it's important to note that the flavanol content of chocolate varies from brand to brand, as they use different beans, which are usually selected for their flavor rather than flavanol content. Dark chocolate contains the highest concentration of flavanols, but that can range from 500 to 2,000 milligrams per 100 grams of chocolate, depending on the brand. And along with that, you can expect at least 60 milligrams of caffeine, which brings its own set of problems, and over 500 calories per 100 grams of chocolate. So it's not all good news.
So, Peter, I only eat the chocolate for the flavor. No. No, it is that is really good news and not so good news.
Yeah, there you go. You bet. Well, we'll be right back with our special guest after this message from our sponsor. You're listening to The Wellness Connection on Talk 1370.
Welcome. Welcome back to the Wellness Connection with accurate health information you can trust. Once again, here are Roddy Aglese and Peter McCarthy.
Well, welcome back to the Wellness Connection. Our special guest for today, speaking with us all the way from Hawaii, is Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, MD, a board-certified internist. His newest book, The Fatigue and Fibromyalgia Solution, provides the most cutting-edge research and scientific information, offering the latest advances in treating chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and the baffling, often dismissed symptoms associated with these debilitating conditions. Dr. Teitelbaum is also the author of several other best-selling books, including the perennial bestseller From Fatigue to Fantastic, which has sold over 500,000 copies, and the popular free iPhone application Natural Cures, which addresses over 100 health issues from A to Z and puts a comprehensive doc in your pocket 24/7.
Dr. Teitelbaum lectures to patient, physician, and research groups internationally. He is lead author of groundbreaking gold standard research on effective treatment for chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia, which was published in the Journal of Chronic Fatigue Syndrome. Dr. Teitelbaum knows CFS and fibromyalgia as an insider. He contracted CFS when he was in medical school and had to drop out for a year to recover, and in the ensuing 30 years, he's dedicated his career to finding effective treatment. Aloha, Dr. T. Welcome to the Wellness Connection.
Aloha, Peter. Aloha, Roger.
Aloha.
Hawaii may be my home, but Austin was my adopted hometown for when I had the chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia, so it's near and dear in my heart.
Oh, wow. Well, you're always welcome back to visit us, and I hope you do. And can we come to Hawaii? I'd like to do that,
yeah,
too.
I fix a mean Mai Tai. We'll talk story.
Awesome. Well, Dr. T, our leading story you might have just heard, you know, talked about the difference between the brains of chronic fatigue sufferers and those with normal people. What's your take on that information?
Well, it's just one more important piece of data showing, one, what's going on in the disease. That area in the right arcuate fasciculus is really important for word finding, short-term memory. And when people have CFS and fibromyalgia, and for listeners, the way you tell if you have, if you're exhausted and can't sleep even though you're exhausted, or if you have widespread pain and can't sleep, you have chronic fatigue syndrome, or it's painful cousin fibromyalgia in most cases if it persists. Mm. And the classic brain fog we see, difficulty with word finding and substitution, difficulty with short-term memory. So, again, it gives us one more clue to the probably autoimmune component of this disease. It also does another really important thing, Roger. There's still a few idiot doctors out there who'd like to say, if I don't know what's wrong with you, you're crazy.
Yeah, it's all in your head.
And it's really bizarre. I mean, they used to do this for multiple sclerosis that they called hysterical paralysis. Mm. They used to do it for rheumatoid arthritis, lupus. Routinely, they'll do it with diseases of women. Uh-huh. And it's really nasty. Yeah. So these doctors have gone from being nitwits to being unscientific nitwits once again.
Well, now we do have so much science behind, and we can really look into that so much more, as my little news piece showed. But you have been really, really the pioneer in this area.
And, you know, Dr. T, tell us a little bit about your own personal experience, because I'm sure our listeners would like to know how you dealt with it. You know, how did you discover it? And, you know, what were some of the things, some of the challenges you had to overcome in that year that you were recovering from CFS?
Well, and the first thing is that, of course, they didn't even have a name for it back then. So even though they knew there was some viral infection, they could see it in the white counts and the rest in the blood tests. After a while, they figured, well, he must be a depressed med student. And that's what it was. And, and I was paying my own way through med school. My dad was dead, and that's I was basically my sole support. And that meant no work study, no scholarship, no loan. I was actually homeless, sleeping in parks.
Wow.
When I had to drop out from the disease. But it's funny. It's as if God put a homeless, holistic medical school sign on my park bench.
Huh.
And for a good part of that, like I said, I was in Texas, in Austin for a good part, and then in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And all these different folks came by. I almost became a naturopath. The universe directed me back into med school instead. I'm at naturopaths who taught me about the disease. I said, you can actually go to school and learn to that. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow. herbalists came by, nutritionists came by, energy workers came by, all these different folks, standard holistic doctors came by, and they each taught me a piece of the puzzle of how to get well from this illness. And, like I said, I had no money. People fed me if I was hitchhiking and they had pizza or something, I ate. But it was an outstanding year. Even though I felt like I got kicked in the stomach, I thought medical school was done forever. My whole life was geared to being a healer and a physician. So I put together the pieces. The universe kind of delivered them in my lap and taught me during that year. And using what we now call the SHINE protocol, which means support for sleep, hormonal function, infections, nutrition, and exercise as able, I was able to recover, go back to medical school, did great, and have been since that time writing and teaching about how to get well from these illnesses.
Wow. Isn't there, you had mentioned a minute ago about certain viruses, chronic fatigue syndrome is related to Epstein-Barr virus?
Well, here's an important thing for people to get. This illness is like blowing a fuse. Mm-hmm. Anything that overwhelms your ability to make energy or keep energy, so anything that causes an energy mismatch, triggers you to trip a circuit breaker, just mm-hmm. like in your home. If you plug in too many blow dryers or too many appliances, off go the lights. And the name of the circuit breaker is called the hypothalamus. It's a key control center in the brain that controls sleep, which is why you can't sleep even though you're exhausted. Mm. It controls your entire hormone system, temperature, blood pressure, pulse, sweating, and gut function, all in that little area. So there are literally dozens of viruses and numerous, probably over 50 infections, probably more, that can cause you to blow a fuse or trip a circuit breaker. Mm. Professor Montoya, who I know well, who's one of the main researchers on the study we were talking about this morning, has done research looking at an antiviral called Valsite, which is helpful for treating HHV6 viral infections and cytomegalovirus in addition to Epstein-Barr. And we find that there's a subset of about 15% of people who we feel need that medication and often will feel much better after 4 months of being on it.
Hmm. Mm, wow. Well, I know you have a lot more to share with us in the next two segments of our interview, so please stay right with us, Dr. T. We'll continue our interview with Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum after this brief message from our sponsors. You're listening to The Wellness Connection on Talk 1370.
Welcome back to The Wellness Connection with accurate health information you can trust. Once again, here are Roddy Aglese and Peter McCarthy.
Welcome back to The Wellness Connection and our continuing interview with chronic fatigue expert, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, MD.
And Dr. T, we were talking about obviously now almost ubiquitous illnesses of chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. And I've got a two-part question for you. First of all, how is that different from normal fatigue? And why are we seeing, as you like to call it, a human energy crisis in this country?
Well, most everybody has fatigue once in a while. And in fact, 31% of the adult population has severe fatigue. But regular fatigue is going to go away with rest. You go on vacation, you're going to feel better. Also, most of the time, if you're really tired, you have a long weekend, you're going to sleep all day and all night. In this illness, you're exhausted and you can't sleep. And it's actually to the point where the fatigue has gotten so severe that you trip a circuit breaker. And just like in your home, once you trip the circuit breaker, it's not enough to unplug the things that blew the fuse. You've got to then go after that piece of the puzzle. You've got to turn the hypothalamus back on for people to recover. And people say, well, why is this new epidemic hitting? Just like you say, we have the perfect storm for human energy crisis. Well, half of our calories have been stripped of vitamins, minerals, and other key nutrients except for calories. In food processing, this is the first time in human history that people are both obese and malnourished at the same time. Mm-hmm. We also used to get an average of 9 hours sleep a night. We're now down to 6 3/4. So it's like a 30% pay cut for sleep for our body. 85,000 chemicals in the environment. And all the exercise that a lot of people get is just picking up the remote control and pointing it at the TV.
Yep.
So there's many, many things that are contributing. And the speed of modern life is increasing, too. So even though I think this is the best time in human history to be living, it also has a lot of challenges that you really need to give your body the support it needs so it can thrive.
Yeah. Yeah, and I understand you've done 4 studies showing that these conditions are now very treatable, and people can do much of these treatments on their own. So tell us a little bit about these studies and those treatments.
Absolutely, because, again, restoring energy production will help the problem go away, basically. And we've treated thousands and thousands of people. And what we'll find and what the study showed is that if you do the SHINE approach, and one of these was a randomized double-blind placebo-controlled study. We've had several open studies. But you want to treat with SHINE. And I'd like to start for a moment with pain, because not only do people have exhaustion and brain fog, but there can be pretty nasty pain. And the pain is virtually always able to be effectively treated. So if you guys don't mind, let's start with that piece of it for a moment.
Yeah.
Because people need to know, and not just fibro pain, but any pain. 1 out of 4 adult Americans needlessly suffers with pain.
Yeah.
Why do I say needlessly? Because physicians are simply not trained in treating pain. But they are trained in one thing. They're trained that if they don't know, nobody knows. So medicine has become a nasty religion. It's very good for about 15% of what ails people. You have an appendicitis, a heart attack, you need the MD. But for 85% of what can help people, doctors and medicine have turned into a religion.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do for the pain? Yeah, what do you recommend for the pain?
Well, remember, pain is like the oil light on your body's dashboard telling you that something desperately needs attention. But oil in the car, the oil light goes out.
Yeah.
If you give the body what it needs for different kind of pain are different things. Migraines, studies show magnesium, vitamin B2 at 400 milligrams a day, CoQ10, B12 will decrease migraines by over 70% after 6 weeks.
Huh.
Pedidolix, all kinds of things. So in fibromyalgia, the SHINE protocol we're going to talk about helps, but I want to give a couple herbal mixes that are outstanding. The number one herbal mix that I find that's been a pain relief miracle for people is one that I call Curamin. That's for anybody with pain. C-U-R-A-M-I-N. It's a mix of a special highly absorbed curcumin, Boswellia, DLPA, and natokinase. You give it 6 weeks. A lot of people feel better in 45 minutes. But you want to give natural remedies 6 weeks because they're going in and healing the system. They're not poisoning it and tearing it apart. The Curamin and pain is another mix. Topical Comfrey. It's a wonderful cream you can rub over painful areas. Compounded pain formula, so you can take 7 medications, put them in a cream, and instead of soaking 180 pounds of you to get 3 ounces of painful tissue, just rub it over that area, and you get, after 2 weeks, marked pain relief. So there's so much that people can do for pain.
Yeah, wow.
Wow. Well, you know, as you've mentioned a couple of times here, the 5 key things that you use to treat these conditions are SHINE. And to review for our audience, that means sleep, hormonal deficiencies, infections, nutritional deficiencies, and exercise. But, you know, there are over 100 different problems that fall under these 5 broad categories. How does a person determine which treatments they need?
Well, a couple things. And you mentioned an iPhone app, by the way. We've renamed it Cures A to Z. So for those looking for that free iPhone app, C-U-R-E-S, capital A-S-C. And we also have a free energy analysis program. If people go on our website and write this down, it's endfatigue.com, and look for the free energy analysis program. It'll take you through a series of quizzes. Whether you have day-to-day fatigue or CFS or fibromyalgia, and it's going to, you'll go through the different sections, you'll answer the questions. It can even analyze pertinent lab tests if you have those available. They're not critical. Symptoms in labs usually point in the same direction. But if you have those labs, put those in as well. It'll analyze that, determine what's causing your fatigue, and then tailor a treatment protocol using a mix of natural and prescription therapies to optimize your energy production and to help you get well.
That's great. Well, we'll be right back with more from our special guest, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, after this brief message from our sponsor. You're listening to The Wellness Connection on Talk 1370.
Welcome back to The Wellness Connection with accurate health information you can trust. Once again, here are Rodia Gleiss and Peter McCarthy.
And welcome back to The Wellness Connection. If you're just joining us, we're having a fascinating conversation with chronic fatigue expert Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, MD.
So, Dr. T, you know, we've been talking so far about people with chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. What about people with day-to-day fatigue, insomnia, or pain?
Well, these also benefit from things that increase energy production. So let's start with nutrition, Rodia. Some of the key things, I mean, the American diet, it's called Standard American Diet, or SAD for a reason. So you don't want to sit there and be neurotic about everything in your diet. You don't have to avoid all gluten and all these other things. But some simple tips. One, cut back the excess sugar. That's especially things like sodas and fruit juices. Mm-hmm. Get rid of those. Eat your fruits and veggies, things along those lines. Most people with chronic fatigue feel better with a high-protein, lower-carbohydrate diet, with multiple small meals through the day. An important tip, unless you have severe high blood pressure or heart failure, do not salt restrict. In this disease and fatigue in general, you know what the main benefit is of limiting salt to the government's recommended guidelines? Two major studies came out about 3-4 weeks ago showing the main benefit is that you're twice as likely to die over the study period of time, which is really good because our social security system is failing. So do your part, salt restrict. But outside of that, it's insane.
I think that solves a few problems.
Salt.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and I say that. You know, I teach nutrition, and I teach at Le Cordon Bleu, which I'm teaching chefs. And, you know, they are just learning about new salt, you know, instead of the Morton's pure dextrose and sodium chloride. You know, there's so many salts out there that do just the opposite with hypertension problems and whatever, you know, and most people aren't aware of those kinds of salts. So that's a really good point. Plus the salt in relationship to adrenal function, which
and
I think
that's exactly why people crash and burn. Mm-hmm. I mean, if without it, it's just so critical.
Yeah.
But let me give a couple other nutrients for folks too, because anybody who wants more energy, I'm going to give you two things to take, or three things that you'll find will knock your socks off in terms of, oh my God, I've got energy and I feel great. One, I like a good vitamin powder. The one I use is called the Energy Revitalization System. It's a mix of 50 nutrients. One single drink replaces over 35 pills. And you hear all that on advertising. I throw out this challenge to people. If you can get what's in the drink in less than 35 pills, I'll give you $100.
Yeah.
Nobody's been able to do that. It takes most people 50 or 60.
Uh-huh.
So number two, there's a nutrient called ribose. Two of the studies we had done looked at ribose. People found they had 61% more energy on average after 3 weeks of taking ribose.
Mm-hmm.
So you take 5 gram scoop of ribose, throw it in with a vitamin powder, stir, add water kind of a thing, you'll find that's the best 30 seconds you'll spend all day for energy.
Yeah.
Vectomega, there's a fish oil. Instead of taking 8 fish oil capsules, you don't need the oil, you just need the omega-3s. So I use one called Vectomega, where one single pill replaces 8 fish oil pills. Huh. As you can tell, Gaudia, I don't want people taking a handful of pills all day.
Yeah. No, they don't either.
Simple thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult for them to comply with that many pills.
Yeah, it's insane. I don't want to stick with that either.
Right.
Coenzyme Q10, 200 milligrams. So this is my morning recipe. This is what I do each morning. Like I say, it's quick, easy. And it, nutritionally, it's like an insurance policy that gives your body most everything it needs for energy in a healthy way and turbocharges it. So this is a really good place to begin for people.
Mm-hmm. Good foundation and good advice. Thank you for that. Now, you're all the way out in Hawaii, as we said at the top of the show. Do you see patients with CFS and fibromyalgia?
I treat people from all over the world, and especially working with their doctor at home, or if they've seen their doctor for a physical examination, we do a lot of the consultations by phone.
Mm-hmm.
So we do treat people, like say, from all over the world with these illnesses. And there are many good doctors, too, throughout Texas.
Yeah.
There's a number of them that also are treating the illness.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need to stay ill. This is an incredibly treatable condition. And it's time for people to get well. You know, that the doctor, and again, most doctors are really good people. They're really well-meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just clueless.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, you know, they're taught, basically, to treat with drugs. And this is not a drug situation. It's a nutrient depletion situation. So, you know.
Well, it's a mix. It's a mix of a number of things. And I use a mix of both natural and prescription therapies.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look, there's, my wife came up with the idea of the pie chart of all the things that can help people. And we used to think in medicine that 98% of that pie chart was made up of things that were under MD's control. And now the research is suggesting that it's more like 15 to 20%. And, you know, there has to be a reshuffling, because otherwise people are losing 80% of what's available to them because of basically dollars trying to control information. It's really sad.
Oh, yeah.
But it offers a lot of opportunity for people to get well, no matter what ails them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, awesome. What's on your website? Tell us how they can reach you through your website and what they'll find.
Well, the endfatigue.com has the energy analysis program. We also have a supplement shop. At the website vitality101.com, you're going to see information on over 100 different health conditions from A to Z, similar to what you can get at the Cures A to Z iPhone and Android app. So whether you've got heart disease, acne, zoster, anything from A to Z, you're going to find a lot of information on how to use the best of natural and prescription medicine to get yourself, well, feeling great.
Oh, that's so great. Well, this has been an awesome conversation, Dr. T, and I know that there's so much more you can share with our listeners, and I hope we can get you back at another time, but that's all the time we have for you today. Thank you so much, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, for joining us on The Wellness Connection.
Well, Radia, we know what that sound means. It's time for our weekly feature, the supplement of the week. And what would that be?
Well, Peter, the supplement this week is Arthrobin, which is by Designs for Health. And it's a safe, effective, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory formula offering a highly absorbable, delicious-tasting apple-flavored powder. It's combination of nutrients that work to reduce inflammation and stimulate cognitive tissue repair and increases joint mobility and function.
And the key ingredients in it are flavocoxid, which is a special blend of flavonoids that are natural, healthy-promoting compounds found in plants, and they're proven as effective as medication, or as the medication naproxen in managing knee osteoarthritis. The other good thing is that there are virtually no side side effects, unlike non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, and they're gentle on the stomach and GI tract.
Yeah, it also has two other ingredients called Fortigel and Verisol, which are specific bioactive collagen peptides derived from patented processes of hydrolysis of type 1 collagen, the main component of tendons, ligaments, and cartilages in joint and in intervertebral discs.
And both for Fortigel and Verisol provide building block for joint repair.
And Fortigel stimulates synthesis of collagen along with the renewal of other important components of joints. Fortigel has been demonstrated to improve osteoarthritis in over 16 human clinical trials.
And Verisol boosts collagen metabolism of the skin, which of course helps improve the skin structure and appearance, and it increases skin hydration and lessens wrinkle formation.
Well, that's another benefit.
Hey, there you go.
Help it keep you looking young.
Well, you know, how long do you think it'll take to see tangible benefits from Arthroben?
Well, research with Fortigel and Verisol showed significant effectiveness at about 3 months, but results continue to improve at 6, 12, and 24 months, as demonstrated by some studies. And this has to do with the fact that cartilage turnover is slow. So it takes time to repair cartilage adequately to produce improvement in function. Flavococcin may act more quickly, but depending on the patient and the severity of their condition, they may take 2 and in some cases up to 12 weeks to reach a peak effectiveness.
And our supplement of the week is available at 10% off for all Martins VIP members at all 3 Martins locations, Dripping Springs, Lamar Plaza, and Lake Hills Pharmacies. And you can also find all supplements of the week available to order online at martinscompoundingandwellness.com. We'll be right back with your burning question of the week after this brief message. You're listening to The Wellness Connection on Talk 1370. And now it's time for the burning question, where we answer those health questions that you, the listeners, send in to us. It's important to note that any diagnosis of disease can only be provided by your medical doctor or other licensed healthcare professional. None of the information we present is intended for the diagnosis or treatment of disease.
And Nikki from Dripping Springs writes in and says, since I was a little girl, I'm happiest if I go to bed at 3 a.m. and wake up naturally at 12:30 p.m. If I try to go to sleep any earlier, I just lie awake, not remotely sleeping, and only drop off when I reach my natural bedtime in the small hours. If I try to get up any earlier, I am barely able to function. I feel groggy, find it hard to concentrate, and develop flu-like symptoms of achy joints and a pounding head. Having a nap brings temporary relief, but I'm back to square one the next night.
Well, Nikki, it sounds like you may have what is called delayed sleep phase syndrome. It's a circadian rhythm disorder where your natural sleep pattern is later than normal and hardwired, meaning it cannot adapt.
And first of all, Nikki, we recommend that you practice good sleep hygiene.
And some ways to practice good sleep hygiene are to wind down before bed and limit caffeine, exercise, tobacco, alcohol, and TV. Yeah. And I should add also any video games or computer use.
Right, exactly. And be sure you stop drinking caffeinated drinks at least 6 hours before bedtime and turn off the TV and the computer and all of that about 3 hours before bedtime.
It's also vital not to do anything stimulating. Sleep hygiene will not cure delayed sleep phase disorder, but it is a part of the process of achieving a desired sleep pattern.
We also recommend that you work with a sleep specialist on something called chronotherapy.
And chronotherapy is when you would delay your natural bedtime 2 to 3 hours every single day until they finally get around to their natural bedtime.
The notion here is to get more and more sleepy until you come around to the bedtime you're supposed to have. Once you reach the bedtime you're supposed to have, it's crucial to keep the new bed wake time every single day.
But we recommend working with a sleep therapist with chronotherapy.
Another thing you can try is light therapy in the morning.
Light therapy can consist of bright sunlight, or with the help of a sleep specialist, you can get a light box or sunbox.
If you have light therapy at the time that you naturally wake up, and not too early because of work, it can help you set your bedtime earlier.
Light therapy therapy should really be used with the help of a specialist as well. If you use it too early in the morning, it could make the problem even worse.
We also recommend that you use regulated doses of melatonin.
Melatonin can be used to gradually move your bedtime earlier. Melatonin in low doses, say about a half to 1 milligram, if taken 5 to 6 hours before bed, can help to drift your bedtime earlier.
Yeah, the key with the melatonin is to keep the same bed wake time every day. Well, Nikki, I hope that helps. You can submit your own burning question by going to martinscompoundingandwellness.com and going to the Wellness Connection page. Tune in every week to hear if your question is being answered on the air.
And, Roddy, it looks like it's time now for the drug-induced nutrient depletion segment.
Well, Peter, the holidays are just around the corner.
The holidays.
The holidays. And this week's drug is alcohol. And believe it or not, it is. It's a drug.
It's a drug.
You know,
you
especially
bet.
A holiday drug.
Uh-huh.
And the supplements that may be depleted are magnesium, B complex, vitamin C, D, E, and K, and zinc.
Yeah, quite a list. And for your magnesium, I like magnesium sustained release by Jigsaw, taking 2 caplets twice a day.
You know, I love the Nano BND Liquid B Complex, which is it's the only probiotic fermented B complex. It's by PRL, Premier Research Labs, and I recommend taking about a quarter teaspoon a day. But if you don't have to take, or if you don't want to, or don't prefer to take the liquid, then I would give the Coenzyme B Food Complex by New Chapter, 1 or 2 times a day a try.
Yep, and for vitamin C, I recommend the Potent C Guard by Perk, taking 1 a day, or the Jigsaw Time Release Vitamin C, taking 2 a day.
And you can take the Ultra Gamma E Complex by Designs for Health, 1 a day for your vitamin E.
And the Synergy K by Pure Encapsulations, 1 a day, or Super K by Life Extension, 1 a day for your vitamin K.
And finally, zinc glycinate by New Medica, 1 a day. So when you pick up your prescriptions at Martin's Compounding and Wellness, be sure that you talk to one of the wellness consultants in order to help you get the right nutrients to complement your prescription.
And now it's time once again for our Health Freedom segment. And joining us on the phone today is attorney, activist, and sustainable farmer Judith McGeary, the executive director of the Farm and Ranch Freedom Alliance, or FARFA. After earning her Bachelor of Science degree from Stanford University and her law degree with the high honors from the University of Texas at Austin, she clerked for a federal appeals court and went on to private law practice. During that time, she became a passionate advocate of sustainable agriculture, and she and her husband established their own livestock farm.
After seeing how government regulations benefit industrial agriculture at the expense of family farms, she founded the Farm and Ranch Freedom Alliance to promote common sense policies for local diversified agricultural systems. Judith has served as the vice chair of the U.S. Secretary's Advisory Committee on Animal Health and is also active with Texas Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association, the Weston A. Price Foundation, and the Farm to Consumers Legal Defense Fund. Judith, welcome to the Wellness Connection.
Thank you for having me on.
Right. Well, Judith, FARFA has indicated that there are problems with the Food Safety Modernization Act as it pertains to small farmers. What are the new federal food safety regulations, and why are they problematic?
Well, the FDA has proposed very extensive regulations that, even under their estimates, would impose thousands of dollars in costs on farmers. And frankly, their estimates are horribly underestimating the real cost. Now, we got a very important exemption through and in Congress to prevent this from crushing small farmers, but FDA's regulations are also undermining that exemption.
Yeah. Wow, it seems that either your phone or your landline is giving us a little bit of
feedback.
Hey,
feedback.
Just,
sorry
just went
about
away.
That. I don't
That's
know what
okay.
happened with this line. There
yeah.
we go.
Oh, it's coming back and forth. Well, anyway, let me ask you something. Why should small-scale producers be exempt from the new food safety regulations?
Well, the thing is, the reason there are new food safety regulations is because there have been, you know, large-scale foodborne illness outbreaks. And those have all come from very large-scale industrial food systems, not from the small-scale producers. producers.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, that makes sense then.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was going to say, actually, if you guys can call me real quick on my cell, I don't know what's happened to my landline all of a sudden.
I don't know.
Well, now it seems like it's okay. No, it's not.
Maybe.
we'll keep talking until Matt can ring in on your cell phone. Let's see here. We'll give that a shot. But so, what is the FDA doing about small scale producers in the new regulations? And, you know, why is that a problem?
Well, so what they're proposing is that they could revoke the exemption.
Oh, there you are. Hello.
We switched lines. What FDA is proposing is that, you know, any field bureaucrat could simply come to, you know, Farmer Joe's place, look around and say, I think that this isn't a, you know, you're not operating safely, and revoke the exemption and force the farmer to come into compliance with these very expensive, very extensive regulations in 60 days.
Wow.
Which is just impossible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's crazy. And, of course, these small farms, they can barely sustain on their own, let alone these heavy penalties.
Well, Judith, let me just ask another question here about this same issue. And I'm sure there are audience members out there who are saying, well, gee, shouldn't everybody be treated the same? You know, why should farmers, small-scale farmers, be treated differently than the big guys?
Everyone should produce safe food. You know, this isn't about the end result. We agree. Everyone should be producing safe food. But regulations that tell you how to train your workers, what sort of buildings you are supposed to have, what sort of equipment you're supposed to have, don't necessarily make food safer. And they're written really on the assumption that you're doing large-scale production. I mean, these regulations are written in a way that are designed for people who are growing, you know, hundreds or thousands of acres of a single crop,
mm-hmm.
you know, with very, you know, with a lot of infrastructure. A small-scale farmer can produce safe food without these sorts of requirements.
Mm-hmm.
It's also important to realize that all of our farmers are already subject to state and local regulations. So mm-hmm. it's not about sort of having a free-for-all. It's simply a question of, do we need the FDA coming in with a whole new set of regulations on these small-scale producers?
Right. Do you think that the big boys are actually complying anyway? Do you think they are?
Well, they aren't yet. These are proposed regs. Mm-hmm. And even the big guys have expressed concerns about how expensive it's going to be for them to comply.
So what can people do to protect local and sustainable farmers and producers?
We are trying to gather. The first step is submitting comments to FDA and contacting your congressman so that both FDA and Congress hear from the public.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got tools to make that very easy on our website, farmingranchfreedom.org. If you go to the latest action alerts, mm-hmm. we have a link. Folks can sign on to our letter to the FDA and to Congress in support of the Tesserhagen exemption and saying simply, it's a very simple ask. Before FDA goes and revokes someone's exemption, they should have to go through what's called normal due process.
Right.
Give the farmer the right to a hearing. Give him reasonable time.
Absolutely.
You know? Just sort of the normal protections we'd expect.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're urging people to call their congressman directly and say, you know, you need to step in. The FDA needs to get reined in. And Congress is the entity that can do it.
Now, do you think that the individuals should do just their federal, or should they also do their state? Or are there a difference? In other words, are there different regulations state to state, or is that an issue?
For this issue, we're looking at entirely at federal.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of food safety issues and a lot of issues for small farmers that are dealt with at the state level. And there are a lot of things people can do to be active at the state level, wherever they are. But when it comes to FDA's regulations, this is going to be made or not made at the federal level.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, Judith, we got just over a minute. What do you see coming down the pike that's going to impact our ability to obtain fresh, safe food? And what can we do about that?
I think the FSMA is part of the food safety regulations, but I think it's part of a larger movement in government and in big industry
to try to put a Band-Aid, I'd say, on our food system. Take the approach that, you know, you're going to get your food from these big, large-scale producers, and so we just have to figure out a way to somehow make that into quality, safe food. And honestly, I don't think there is much of a way. You know, when you're doing food on that kind of scale that the large producers are, there are going to be sacrifices on both quality and safety. And what we need is a food system really that recognizes that we have two different food systems. Mm-hmm. We have a large scale, you know, people are buying in the grocery stores. We have to do what we can to make that as safe and high quality as possible. And in the meantime, have regulations that don't destroy the alternative mm-hmm. for the people who want to buy really high quality food from local producers.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the more we get the word out and education of the value of farm to table and the value of just, you know, eating locally, supporting local farmers, as well as not only for the economy, for the local economy, but also for everybody's health. I mean, just this can't be, you know, talked about enough. Well, we really, really thank you for joining us, Judith. We know you're involved with many other issues that our audience needs to know about, but that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us on the Wellness Connection. Next week, to kick off our third season, our featured guest will be a true pioneer in the natural health community, Dr. Norm Shealy, MD, founding president of the American Holistic Medical Association. Will be talking with us about a term few of us have heard about, transcutaneous acupuncture.
And our Health Freedom segment will feature one of our favorite returning guests. Jim Turner, chair of Citizens for Health, will be discussing why the FDA continues to support the toxic chemical fluoride in our water supply and what that means to our health.
And as always, here is discussed the next burning question, which may be yours. So I'm your co-host, Roddy Iglesias.
And I'm your co-host, Peter McCarthy. So long for now from the Wellness Connection, brought to you by Martin Compounding and Wellness Centers, with three Austin locations at Lamar Plaza Drugstore, Dripping Springs Pharmacy, and Lake Hills Pharmacy.